Yes, hello, this is Alvin Lussier. I'd like to talk about the two pieces I've recorded for you. The first one is Chambers. It's a piece I conceived of in 1968 when I was visiting Pauline Oliveros in San Diego, California. I became fascinated by the seashells I found around me and started to think of them as small rooms that would capture whatever sounds were heard around them and impinge their resonant and characteristics on those sounds. I expanded that idea to include any found object, milk bottle, seashell, even an old shoe, any enclosed environment in which I could put sounds, and the sounds would change according to the resonant characteristics of that small environment. The first performance of Chambers was in the Museum of Modern Art in New York in 1968. I simply suggested to a set of performers that they go out and find whatever resonant environments they could, and then buy toys, cassette tape recorders, radios, any battery-operated or mechanical devices into which they could put into these objects and make them sound. Then the idea was simply to walk or move the sounding environments from one space to another so you could hear those sounds that were inside small environments in the larger environment. The performance I recorded was done at Crowell Hall at the university I teach in the United States. And I used 55 students coming into Crowell, that's the name of the hall, and I simply walked them in one by one so the sound accumulates. It's very dense, but you can hear individual sounds as they move across the space. The other piece is the fragment, A Silver Streetcar for the Orchestra, for solo triangle. I wrote this in response to a suggestion by Stuart Saunders Smith, a percussionist in the United States, who was tired of hearing percussion works for every conceivable instrument at the same time. And he suggested to composers that they make pieces for one percussion instrument only. I thought of the triangle. I got the title from Lou. I got the title for the piece from the Surrealist Manifesto of 1922 by the Spanish filmmaker Luis Buñuel. He gave all the instruments of the orchestra various descriptions and titles, and he called the triangle the Silver Streaker for the orchestra, so I thought that was an appropriate title. The player simply taps the triangle all along its particular length, and as he does so, he can change any one of five different things. One is the speed at which he plays. Second is where he plays on the metal bar. Third is how loud he plays, and the fourth is amount of dampening he does to the bar with his left hand. And the fifth parameter is where he causes that. So you hear the triangle and all its marvelous manifestations, wonderful sounds that occur that you never knew were there. My relationship to the plastic arts is just a natural one for me. I never studied the visual arts. I can't draw. I can't paint. But it seems to me when I set up an installed work, I pay a lot of attention to how it looks. I was also interested in seeing sound, wondering where sound waves go when they leave their source. Huh? So even a piece like Music on a Long Thin Wire, where a long wire is caused to vibrate, you can see the wire vibrate. And I did another piece called Sound on Paper, where framed pieces of paper are caused to vibrate by sound waves. And not only can you hear the paper sound, you can see it sound in various ways. I installed that once in an art gallery for various people who had some kind of a problem. Some people were unable to hear, but they could see the sound vibrate. Some people couldn't see, blind people, and they could hear the sound vibrate. And there were even some people that were blind and deaf, and they could touch the paper and feel it vibrate. So I've been interested in that kind of thing. I am sitting in a room. There have been other versions. There was one done in Sweden, in the Swedish radio in Stockholm, which I like very much. I made two or three versions. One, the first version in 1969 or 1970. Then I made another one in the early 80s for a CD on Lovely Music. And I made a third one to be used for the Viola Farber Dancers, a piece she did in the late 1970s. Occasionally I get a version of that piece done by somebody. Unfortunately, people expect to hear my voice in that recording. It's been identified so closely with that piece, whereas my idea for it was that anybody could do the piece with any speech. I did a piece last year in Germany at the radio, and we did it live, actually, with a loop, a tape loop. We had to measure the length of the loop to fit the length of the speech, and I didn't think that piece was going to work very well, but it worked really well. I just said the text once, and then the audience could see the loop moving across the stage and causing the sounds to occur the way they do. I've always been interested in natural phenomena of sound, but I think more related to inaudible sounds, or sounds that you can't hear, invisible sounds. In my brainwave piece, Music for Solo Performer of 1965, alpha waves, which are 10 cycles a second, which are really too low to hear as tones, I made audible by enormous amplifying, and the 10 cycle waves that burst through the cones of the loudspeakers cause percussion instruments to sound. And then in my echolocation piece, 1970, Vespers, where handheld pulse wave oscillators cause echoes to sound in the environment. And throughout the performance, you can hear the sound signature of the room that you're in. Those echoes are sort of inaudible. And then in 1980, I recorded some ionospheric disturbances. There are electromagnetic storms that happen all the time around the Earth. And since they are radio waves, they're natural radio waves, they're inaudible until you pick them up with an antenna and cause them to be heard. That was more or less of a recording project and not a piece. So I guess that's all I have to say about these things, and I wish you good luck with this project. Thank you.